So we did think, given that it was this kind of day, through this kind of season, we had thought, you know, let's include everybody for this service particularly. Thanks, Taylor and team, for leading like you did. That was fantastic. I love Lord, I Need You. That's one of my favorites, actually. So, yeah, thanks. And it's a nice difference periodically just to have acoustic sets because, for me anyway, I don't know how it affected you guys, but I certainly was thinking about the words a little bit more. And you had to sort of sit with the melody a bit more. I did anyway. So we thought between Aaron, Greg, and I, we would offer this to you this morning, church family, literally, kids included. Maybe a lesson that would answer some of, maybe I'll get that first slide then that we had up there earlier, that would be representative of the top three questions that kids seem to ask about God. So these are the three questions. So I'm going to talk about one of them. Pastor Greg's going to talk about another one, and Pastor Aaron's going to talk about the third one. So the first question, if I can get the first question up there for us to consider together, what does God look like? It's such a good question, right? So any guesses? What does God look like? Just, you can yell out from where you are. What does he look like? He looks white, okay? Like white skin or like white hair or? Okay, yeah. Maybe white skin, yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, yeah. God, what does he look like? He has yellow wings, okay? Brown hair. So far, the composite of our God is yellow wings, brown hair, white face. Okay. Now, I've got a little bit ahead of myself because what I meant to do was start with a game. I forgot. You feel free to go, Rob. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Keep that in mind. Those are good answers-ish. They're good. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm going to ask you now to play a game with me. This game is called 20 Questions. And you'll have to, I have something in my pocket right now, not my mic, but I have something in my pocket right now. And you have to ask me questions that I can only answer yes or no to. So I'll give you an example. Is it a kangaroo in your pocket? I would say no. Silly. It's way too small, the pocket, right? So that's a no. So you have 20 questions to figure out what's in my pocket. This is where adults, you can help, okay? And whoever gets it right, the whole family gets chocolate, right? So I'm powerfully motivating your behavior with extrinsic rewards like that. Or even someone near you. That's fine. Okay, so first question about what is in my pocket. Yes. Is it a Tim Hortons gift card? No. Yes? Is it my car keys? No. So that's two. Who can keep count? You keep count for me? Okay, thanks. Is it money? No. You want to think about it a little bit more? Okay, yes? Is it a car? No. Yes? Is it paper? No. So I might suggest that you try to narrow it down just instead of guessing wildly. You might consider, is it a certain shape? Is it a certain weight? Things like that. But yeah, you know, you're doing okay. How many questions? Four. Wow. We're going to be here all day. Okay, yeah. Some type of food. She knows me really well, actually. Probably a chocolate, you're thinking, right? No? Yes?
Is it round?
Is it round? No. That's a good question.
Was it no to the food or no to the
food? No to the food and no to round, yes?
Lint?
Is it lint? No.
Is it some type of toy?
Is it some type of toy? Not really. I'm going to help you along, okay, because it's tougher than it might appear to me to be. It's something you use in school. Okay, something you use in school. Okay, now we got a whole new window open. How many questions do we have left here? We have,
we're at eight.
So we have 12 more. I'm looking to give away chocolate here, so help me out. I'll come back. Yes. A pencil is a good guess. Nope. Yes. An eraser, also a good guess. No. Yes. A pen, no. Okay, Okay, Beck, yes. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Because the eraser was already set, I'm going to give you another chance at a different question. So can you maybe something else? And whatever you do, don't listen to Mr. Beagle. So go ahead. What do you think, Levi? A pencil sharpener is a good guess? No. Yes? Are you trying to get my attention? Wow. That's fun. Okay. What do you think it is?
Paper.
Good one. Did we have that one already? So I'm going to not, don't count that as one of the guesses. Sometimes it's hard to hear, so it's not paper. This, come on, section.
Is it metal?
Is it metal? Like heavy metal? No. No. Not either or. Yes. It is plastic. Remember, this is for children, right? Okay. But yeah, you're very keen, though. So I'll take Ange. Go ahead. Ange? No, it is. Is it whiteout? Nope. Five questions left. Okay, I want to. Did you ask already? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Yes, Jackson.
Calculator.
Is it a calculator? No. Is it a what? Is it a what? Let me see. Just stay there. Yes, it is. It is a Spider-Man ruler, no less. What? Spider-Man. Okay, Roar, come here. I want you to count how many people there are in your family. Do you know how many there are? Five chocolates, one for each person in your family, okay? Good job. Way to persevere. All right, so I think to recap, we had asked earlier, what does God look like? And we had talked about yellow wings, white face, brown hair. So kids, here's the truth, actually. It's a tough question because no one has ever seen God. But the Bible does claim that we should call him Father. Even Jesus actually tells us to call him Abba or Abba, which means daddy or papa. And you know for sure, when he taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray beginning our Father who's in heaven. And one of the early Bible writers actually called God the Father of lights. So I think we mostly think of God as a wise and powerful older man with a long flowing white gray beard. But here's where it's a little tricky. One day, Jesus was talking to a woman at a well. They were talking about worship. She was saying that the right place to worship God was on one mountain, and others were saying the right place to worship God was on another mountain. Jesus actually told her, it doesn't really matter where we worship, because God is spirit. In other words, we can worship God anywhere. You see, God doesn't have a body like we do. And God isn't a boy God or a girl God, even though we call him, and we call him Father. The Bible does say, though, that we, boys and girls, are made in his image. We look like him somehow. In other words, boys and girls are a reflection of God. But because he doesn't have a body, he's also not like us. He's more like the wind, okay? God is. So let me ask you, can you see the wind? Can you see the wind? Not really. But how would we know the wind is there, though? Because we know the wind is there. How do we know it's there? You can feel it. Excellent answer. How else do we know that wind is actually around? Yeah. We can't see it. But we can sometimes feel it, for sure. And what else do we know about the wind? What does the wind do when we go, when the wind is blowing, what happens around us? Yeah, so the limbs and the leaves will move because, so God is like this. We can have a sense of God. We might even feel his presence. And we would for sure be able to see some of the things that he has done. He has caused the sun to rise, the sun to set. He causes the wind to blow. He makes it possible for us to love each other. All these things, all that is good, the Bible says, God is behind that. But all this makes it really hard for us to picture who God is, right? What he looks like. And God must have known that, because what he did is he sent, and this is why Mr. Ron's answer is always right, he sent Jesus to us. So if I were to answer the question differently, what does God look like? Really easy. He looks an awful lot like Jesus. And I have found it helpful, even when I'm singing on Sunday morning, when we're singing about God and talking about God, to visualize, to think about Jesus. And we know what he looks like. He is actually a man. He's a boy who has brown skin, olive skin, and he has dark hair. And we know the things that he has done because the Bible's full of stories about him. So what am I saying? Am I saying that Jesus is God? Yes, I am saying that. The Bible says that, actually. There are a lot of places in the Bible that tell us that Jesus is God. But I'm going to share only one story, okay? And here it is. One day, Jesus was teaching the people. Some thought he was, well, crazy. And some said, wait a second. How can a crazy man do the kinds of miracles that he's doing? Then Jesus tried to explain to the crowd who he was when he said to them, and now I'm quoting the Bible, I and the Father, who is God, we're one. And that's found in John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus wasn't just saying that he was like the Father. He was saying that they were one and the same. Jesus, God, same thing. This really, really upset the crowd. They even picked up stones, if you can imagine it, to throw stones at him because he had broken a sacred rule to the Jews at the time who had said, God is not a man, God is God. But Jesus went on to say this too, that he's the Son of God, which meant that he had God stuff in him because God was his dad. That would be like me saying, I'm a human being because my dad is a human being. Okay? But the crowd, they didn't believe him. So Jesus then focused their attention on the things that he had done and would continue to do. If he wasn't God, Jesus said to them, then how could he have performed all these miracles that were really quite spectacular? Let me ask you a question. Do you know any of the miracles of Jesus? Who can tell me a miracle of Jesus? And I've got chocolate writing on it here. Okay. Yes, Chelsea? Say it again. The loaves and the fishes, can I throw? All right. Oh, nicely caught. Okay, yes, Dad? Turned water into wine. Oh, good. I am sure one of these days I'm going to throw one out and someone, there's going to be a lawsuit here, I'm sure. Yes, Caleb? Yes, he rose his best friend from the dead. That was a pretty cool miracle. Okay, back there, yes. What? He walked on. Are you serious? That's right. It's true. Incoming. You got this, Tim? Okay. Lee? Parting of the Red Sea. Not Jesus. Throw it back. Thank you. But he is God. So Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yes, Spider-Man. What? Yes. You got to focus, Jacob. You got to focus, buddy. Okay? There's not going to be any chocolates for you guys to give out, by the way. Just so you know. I'm like the sugar daddy here. Okay? I'm going to go over here. How many chocolates do you have in this house already? Just you? Just you. Okay. Yeah. He rose from the dead. Yeah. Good stuff. Yes, Eden. That's right. A man that was sick, he made better, right? Okay. You ready for this? Here it comes. Put your paper down. You got to focus here. You ready? Okay, no pressure. Yeah! Oh, belly. Oh, that was weird. Okay. Okay, good. All that to say, who does this kind of stuff? Who heals? Who brings people back from dead? Who changes water into wine? Who parts the Red Sea? Who does this stuff, guys? Who does this stuff? Yes. God does this stuff. Jesus is God. He did these things. Jesus answered the question, why did Jesus do these kinds of things to that particular crowd in that story? He said, and I'm quoting again, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. But here's the good news. Jesus wasn't just God, he was also a man. He is the one and only person who could help us be friends with God again. As I said on Christmas Eve, he is the one and only who would have one foot in heaven, shaking hands with God and extending down to us on the planet so that he could bring us together. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birthday we just celebrated and why we sing the songs we do. I'm going to ask Aaron to come up next for question number two. Can we get question number two, please, Rick, when you have a chance? Oh, do you want that? Okay.
All righty, 20 questions.
Go.
No, it's not what's in the bag. It's actually in my pocket. Well, the front ones are sewn shut because they keep doing that to us girls and sewing our pockets shut. What's that about? Anyway, so it's in a pocket. No, it is not something I would normally have in my pocket. Is it man-made? Yes. Is it made in a factory? Probably. For school or work? No. Are you counting? I'm not counting. Someone better be counting. Is it plastic? No. It might have plastic on it. So kinda. Is it edible? No. Is it breakable? No. In normal everyday usage, yeah. Is it round? Yes. Is it metal? Yes. Is it a loony? No, I wish. It's not a toonie either, sadly. A metal ball? No. I'm up to 12. Yeah, it has metal and it has plastic on it. We would use this Christmas time. Yeah. It is a Christmas tree decoration.
Nicely done.
Oh, I do get the whole family, don't I? I will show you. Yeah, do you want to hand those out for me? So this is my ornament from Hoonah, Alaska. My sister started the tradition of when we travel, we buy an ornament. So my sister has an Eiffel Tower and Big Ben. And I went to Alaska, and we got off the boat, and we took a very scary little bus to a town called Hoonah. I don't recommend spending your $10 on the little town of Hoonah. There is nothing there. Apparently, we'd missed the parade. They had a race your bathtub down the hill parade that morning. We missed it, sadly. We did not miss the mosquitoes the size of a float plane. So we were dive bombed with many mosquitoes. So we bought an ornament and got out of there. Got back on the boat. So my question is, does God sleep or rest? My kid's the keener. So does God sleep or rest? So when I was given this question, I thought about it, and I could come up with several verses in the Bible that sort of contradicted the answer that Rob told me was the answer. You know, because we're that kind of staff. So I decided I had to look at another good book, the dictionary. So rest in the dictionary is described as several things. One of them is what we would call sleep, so the actual metabolic process of our bodies taking a break. Our brain does cool things. We don't breathe as much. We wake up hopefully feeling better. The second thing is a freedom from activity or labor. So when we stop working, it also can mean a peace of mind or spirit or a freedom from anxieties. So if we look at Genesis, beginning of the Bible, in chapter 2, God has just finished creating the earth. He has spent 6 days slaving away over things like the sun and animals and humans. And on the 7th day, God had finished his work. This is verse 2 in chapter 2. The work of creation. And so he rested from his work. So we see here that God has rested from work, but he didn't, like, check out. He sort of sat down and had coffee. So if you are blessed with children who like Lego, you may recognize figures like this that are the reason I don't go on holidays. It's all spent on Lego. This was one of my son's Christmas gifts. It is the Rock Rotor. He unwrapped it and disappeared for 2 hours. It was awesome. So that was his work. He created, he made this, and when he was done, he brought it to me and went, "Look, it's so awesome. It does all these things. I can't make it do it." But he liked that, and then he sort of looked at it for a bit because he was a little bit tired, but he didn't go to sleep. He proceeded to fight with his sister. So we know that God, right now the Bible is saying, he rests. So he takes a break from the work he's doing, but he doesn't check out. When Jesus came, he was human. And humans require sleep to function. And we see in Luke chapter 8, verse 23, that they sailed across the ocean, or off across the sea, sorry, and Jesus settled down for a nap. So we see there that Jesus, when he was in his human form, showed us how fragile, even when you're God, it can be, and that he had to sleep. But God is not human, and he's not limited by the human form and the human frailties and the things that the body does that makes it hard for us to be on the go all the time. So we see in Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4, "He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps." So while God has rested from work, and while he has slept when he was in human form, he doesn't check out, and he's always listening and always basically on board. So that is our third question, our second question.
All right. I see that Aaron has left me some chocolate here, so I can just have like a heyday up here handing out chocolate, which I see a lot of people really happy about. Before I get to my question, I too have a 20 questions item that is in my bag, but I work with youth quite often, so I've upped the ante a little bit. It is not something that you see very often. That's going to be my hint. So after every 5 questions we do, I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint, okay? Just because we're going to have to try to... It's going to be a challenge. Anyways, that's all I'm going to say. So can I have someone start us off with the first question for my object that is in this bag here? Go ahead. Does it have movable parts? It does not. This one does not have movable parts. Oh, sorry. There you go. Somewhere in there. Yep. Go ahead. It does not fill the whole bag. I've got a little hand up over here. Is it round? I'm going to go with kind of. It's roundish. Does that help? Dave? Is it for what? It is not for instruction. It doesn't help me at all, actually. How about Jeanette? For a what? For a vehicle. It is not for a vehicle. And a little hand up behind you. Is it a toy? Wow. I guess I don't have to do my first hint then, do we? Okay, how many questions is that? That's five. Perfect. Good. So, Patty in the back. It is a toy. Most definitely is. Sorry, that's correct. I'd imagine some component of it is plastic, yes. Beside Patty? It does not have batteries. Yeah, up here. No, I don't think it's squishy. You'll understand when I show you what it is, why these questions are hard. Jackson? Is it buildable? It was built one time. 10 questions. Okay. Trying to think of a hint that's not going to give it too far away. Let's just go a little bit further here. Yeah, you have a question? It is not made out of wood. So parts of it are made out of plastic, but I don't think there's any wood in it. It is not Lego. It replicates something that quite a few of you might have in your home. That looks like something you might have in your home. Okay? April? It is not a die-cast tractor, of which I'm sure there are many in your home. How about with the Kolkmans here? It is not a Barbie. Where are we at, Rob? How many questions? 13? Okay. Up here with the Dwinter family. Yeah. It is not a Hello Girl. How about beside you? It does not fly unless I made it to, but I wouldn't suggest it. So that's 15 questions. I would say that if this wasn't a replica of something, some people are allergic to this item if it were the real item. That's your hint. If it were the real item, some people might be allergic to it. So I think there was a question in the back. Ron? Okay, and I'm going to go Jennifer here. It is not a stuffed dog. Little hand up over here. It is not a fake can of peanut butter, but that's an excellent choice. Mrs. Beagle. I love it. It's not quite that roundish, but it is not a fake Charlie Brown, because some people might be allergic to Charlie Brown, but I see the peanut connection. Phil? That is correct. Oh, one more question, and I see a hand up in the back here. It is not a flower. We're very close now. Do you want to extend it by two more just to see if someone might get this? No? Okay, one more back here, Jeanette. It is not a Mr. Potato Head. Whoa, who said that up front here? She did say it. It is a little bit scary. It is a replica cat. Which actually has real fur on it.
Is that a real stuffed cat?
It's not squishy. It is soft, however, but it is not squishy. Here, why don't you hold on to it? It is a little bit creepy. I will give a consolation prize for the late guest and her family.
And her family.
Yes. Okay, so on to the question. Can Christians hear God talking to them? I'm ready to give out some more chocolate here. So if I had someone that would be willing to, I'm thinking of a child now, tell me what the voice of God sounds like. Could someone speak into the mic and tell me what God sounds like? You want to try it? Okay.
Holy.
God sounds holy when he speaks. I like it. We'll reward that. I'm looking for someone to imitate the sound of God when he's talking. Can you do that? Can we try that?
Yes, an impersonation.
He makes you feel like you have if somebody doesn't have a home, he makes you feel like you have to do something for them.
Wow. I think I'm done. I think I'll just sit down. There's someone listening to the voice of God. That is exactly what God sounds like. Does anybody else want to imitate what sound it might sound like when you hear God's voice?
He might sound like your dad.
Ah, I like that. Another good answer. Let me load up on chocolate, Jackson. I'll be over there in just a sec, okay? Last one here, sorry. Hey, Jackson, you want to do your best impersonation of God?
The wind.
The wind. Oh, somebody was listening this morning. This is really good stuff, actually. Okay. Do I want the cat back? That's a good question. I've got two live cats and I've got this one, and they all curl up together on the floor. Yeah, it's a little creepy. There's a story about one that Josh Gregan had, but I'm not going to share that now. Feel free to ask me later. Can Christians hear God talking to them? What do you think? Yes? Whoa, there's a quick... Somebody wants chocolate. Two. It was a simple one. Here you go. Yeah, we know that we can hear God speak to us in several different ways, actually. Sometimes he does choose to speak to us through an audible voice, like a voice you can hear. Sometimes he speaks to us through his Bible. That's his word to us. Sometimes he chooses to reach us through other people, like a pastor, your Sunday school teacher, and even your parents. If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, then the Bible says you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right? And if that's the case, it might be reasonable to suggest that you could actually hear him talking directly to you, to your heart. Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever had that moment where, like, I feel like doing this, and then there's that other voice that's kind of like, I don't think I should be doing this right now. It's kind of like your conscience saying, you know, perhaps sometimes that might be God saving you from a decision you might make. See, God is with us all the time, and if you think that you hear him speaking to you, it's important to remember that he will never tell us to do anything that goes against what he says in the Bible. Have you ever watched a movie and heard a low, strong voice speaking to the character in the movie? Has anyone here seen the movie Evan Almighty? Yes. As parents, you might recognize then the voice of Morgan Freeman talking as God in like every movie. I was looking for that because I think for us, that's our perception. Maybe that's the father. That's kind of like the De Winters. Maybe it sounds like your father. And maybe that's a connection that we have through the Bible, that he's a strong voice speaking to you. But what if God clearly spoke to us like that? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you could just audibly hear his voice talking to you all the time? I think that'd be pretty cool. Or better yet, how many people like to be congratulated for what you do right? Do you like it when your parents say, well done? I'm really impressed with that. Wouldn't that be cool if as you go through life, you could hear God saying, I'm really impressed with what you did there? Wouldn't that be really cool? It'd be amazing to be able to hear that audible voice. Some people in the Bible, I'm thinking of someone by the name of Samuel. He actually heard the voice of God. Now, Samuel was a prophet. That's someone used by God to speak to his people. Samuel heard the voice of God at age 12. The people in those days did not have a complete Bible like we do today. So God often selected people to speak through, and he called those people prophets. But actually hearing God's voice does happen, but God does not usually talk to us out loud in a voice that we can hear. I'd like to share a story, if I could, a story of what I've experienced. How many of you guys have chores? I'm thinking of the kids. I know parents, we got a lot of them. But how many kids have chores? What are some of the chores you have that you don't like to do? Sorry? Some chores that you don't like to do.
The dishwasher.
Dishwasher, what do you got?
My room.
Your room, cleaning your room? How about you?
Doing the bathroom.
You did? That's impressive. He does the bathroom. I got to up my game here. I went away after I graduated. When I finished all my school, I went away to a college. And at college, I thought it would just be a lot of fun. But I soon realized actually I had a lot of chores to do there. There were some things that I didn't think I'd had to do that I really that ended up being a lot of work for me. And there was a point in time when I was at college where I was laying in bed, and after doing some of our classes, going to classes, they would ask us to go to chapel. And at chapel, they would we would sing, much like today. We would worship, we would hear someone share, and they would encourage us in what we were there to learn about God. And you know what I said to my roommate? I said, you know what? This feels an awful lot like a bunch of chores. And I'm really tired, and I don't know if I'm getting anything out of this. So you know what I'm going to do today? It was 10 o'clock in the morning. You know what I chose to do instead of doing my chores? I crawled back into bed. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, took a look at the list and said, not today. So I did, and as often happens when you make a poor decision, somebody else is influenced by it, because I had a roommate. And he said, you're not going to chapel? I said, nope. He said, I'm not going either. So pretty soon, my choice not to go to chapel and hear from God, now it affected this other person. And I was happily sleeping. I woke up when I heard a voice. And this is just my experience. Not everybody has had something like this. I heard a voice, and I clearly heard a voice that shared with me two verses. The first verse was Proverbs 6, verse 9. And the second verse was Ephesians 5, 14. And if you wake up hearing two verses, you're like, now I'm curious. What? So I jumped up out of my bed. My roommate said, what are you doing? And I quickly scribbled it down before I forgot what those verses were, because I was really curious. And I said, just don't say anything. I just want to look this up. So I looked up the two verses. And so given the fact that I was actually supposed to be doing my work, and I was actually accountable, and I was supposed to be in chapel learning about God, I chose to lay in bed instead. These are the two verses that I heard that day. First is Proverbs 6, verse 9. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I'm not kidding. That is exactly what it said. I'm like, oh? So I went to look up the second verse, Ephesians 5, 14. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. So, can we hear the voice of God? I think I did that day, and I'll tell you what I did do. What would you do if you heard that? Would you keep sleeping? What would you do? I did. That's exactly it. Often when you hear the voice of God, you have to go out and share it with somebody. And you know where I went? It wasn't a chore so much anymore. I went to chapel. And not only did I get something out of that chapel, but I was able to share with other people what I had heard. And people were intrigued. They're like, what? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. This is just what I heard. And so I wasn't looking and I wasn't listening, obviously, to God. But God found a way to get my attention, and he got me to chapel where I spoke to probably 30 or 40 people that day. And it was actually at a time in my life where I didn't feel close to God. And sometimes I wondered if he was there. And God chose a way to meet me where I was. So that's my experience. Not everybody has that, but he does speak to us through the Bible. And so I heard the verses, but I went to the Bible. I'm going to read a passage from the Bible that's easy to understand because it's written in a message, which is just a very easy to understand version of the Bible. It's in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 2. And it has something to say about hearing from God. Going through a long line of prophets, like Samuel that I mentioned earlier, that big name for people who spoke to people with messages from God. God has been addressing or talking to our ancestors in different ways for thousands of years. Recently, he spoke to us through his son. By his son, God created the world in the beginning, which you were talking about in Genesis, and it'll all belong to the son at the end. The son perfectly mirrors God, which is interesting. That's what Pastor Rob was sharing earlier, too. The Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says, his powerful words. Do you know who God's Son is? This is an easy one. Oh, yes. You want chocolate for this too, don't you? Well, this is a really easy answer. That's always the answer. Just because I have more. You see, in the days of Samuel, they were not aware of Jesus and did not have a Bible. Or know Jesus in the way that we know him and the way he lived his life. I would say that God most often communicates to us through his word. If you don't take the time to read your Bible, This is what you'll hear most pastors say. You should spend time reading this. But if you don't spend time reading this, you might miss the opportunity to hear from God. My unique situation was just that. It's very unique. But if you want to hear the voice of God, we need to spend time in the Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you, you need to read it. I do know this. God is always trying to get our attention. His goal is for us to live in close relationship with him every day, like a best friend looks forward to hanging out with you. Sometimes we just need to read his book and take him some time to listen. And if we think we're hearing from God, we actually have some more responsibility. We need to check it out with what we read in the Bible. Remember what I said earlier? God will never tell you, or you will never hear a voice from God that isn't something you can prove in the Bible. Or maybe you can share that with a parent, a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. Once we hear from God, he asks us to be obedient so that we can live a good life, doing good things for others and worshiping him. So from my personal experience, yes, we can hear the voice of God. But if you want to hear more, I would spend time here. Because if you spend any time reading that, you will begin to hear what his plan is for you. So that's it.
Beautiful. Thanks, buddy. Take your cat. Okay, so worship team, if you come forward, we're going to close our service right now, but just quick questions as the worship team is reassembling. These will be like one-word answers. I'll take those home for me. What was the last thing I said out loud? Oof, thanks, buddy. Way to go. High five. Okay, so one-word answer. what does God look like? One-word answer. What does God look like? Who said, put your hand up if you have an answer. Yes. Sorry? Like an angel. All right. Here it comes. Are you ready, Soph? Nice catch, buddy. Yes. Okay. I was actually looking for something else, but we'll go for a second possible answer. One word. What does God look like? David? You got it, buddy. Were you not ready? Sorry, I should have probably called that out. Okay, second question, and I will take two possible answers here as well, because it is the way that Aaron taught it. And I think rightly so. Does God sleep or rest? I have an answer over here. Does God sleep or rest? No, not that much. Nope. Just like on the weekends, on Sunday, mostly. That's right. True story. Yep. So no, he doesn't, because he's always present to us and for us. But you could also answer it differently. Does God ever sleep or rest? Yes, Sandra? Yeah. Yes, he doesn't. Very good. Last question, I believe, was does God speak to us? Yes or no? First hand up was, I think, Tanner at the back. And the answer is? What did he say to you this morning? What did he say to you this morning? Okay, good morning. Nice! Nice catch! Okay. Very good. Thank you, worship team, if you would. Thank you. Oh! No, I'm not going to do that one. No. Not feeling it. What do you want to know? Where does God live? Yeah, no, it's good. You go ahead. Where does God live? Where do you think he lives? Where? Within us, I think if you search your scriptures, you'd find where Christ says, God says, he'll make his home in you, correct? And if heaven isn't anything, it's certainly this. Heaven is where God is. So we'd say in us, but where does he live otherwise? Wherever we are? Yeah, it's fair to say. In this sort of, okay, yep. Where does God live? In heaven is the correct answer. The problem with that answer is, where's heaven, right? Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. Worship team.